The story of Klaus Spreckels, the German peasant who, at the age of 18, emigrated from Landstedt, Hanover, where he was born in 1828, and by his own pluck, industry, and thrift, carved for himself a place among America's foremost captains of industry. On the night of April 17th, 1906, an old couple sit in their gorgeously appointed mansion on Van Ness Avenue, San Francisco, staring with unseeing eyes into the night. White-bearded, white-haired Klaus Spreckels, his mind wandering back over his 78 years of busy, eventful life, at length breaks the silence.
Are you asleep, Anna?
No, Klaus. I was just dreaming. Klaus, do you know that it is just 60 years ago today that you left Landstedt to come to America to seek your fortune?
Yeah, so it is. But when I arrived in New York, I couldn't speak a word of English. And I had only one German thaler in my pocket.
What's a German dollar, Grandpa?
Oh, a German coin worth about 75 cents.
Rudy, child, what are you doing here? You go right back to bed this minute.
Oh, can I sit up with you and Grandpa for just a little while? I'm not a bit sleepy. Say, where's Papa and Mama?
They've gone to a big banquet, darling. Come here and sit in my lap.
What did you do when you came to America, Grandpa?
Well, I got a job in a grocery store in New York for $4 a month.
And your grandpa saved up his money and sent it to me back in Germany so that I could come to America, too.
And then you and Grandma jumped on the train and came out here.
Train? There were no trains across the continent in 1856, my boy. No, we had to take a long, rough trip down the Atlantic Ocean, across the Isthmus of Panama, and then up the Pacific coast.
And maybe you think we weren't happy when at last we sailed through the Golden Gate.
Yeah. Everyone in San Francisco thought I had a lot of money. And everybody tried to sell me something, but I wouldn't buy a thing. Until one day, we went to the Golden
Gate. How do you do, Mrs. Spreckels? Mr. Spreckels?
I need some coffee and some sugar.
You seem to be mighty busy there. What are you figuring? All your profits for the last month?
Well, I'm figuring up what I could make if I only had a few hundred dollars to invest in a company that's being organized. It's a chance to make millions.
You aren't to making money here?
Yeah, but I'm sick of just plugging along. Do you know anyone who wants to buy a grocery store?
Yeah, maybe I buy it. Just how much stock have you got here?
So we got another grocery store.
Yeah. And we did pretty well with it, too. So well that a few years later, we bought the brewery. And then I paid my visit to Gordon's sugar refinery and saw the terrible waste of cane juice, or liquor, as they call it, and realized what great possibilities there were in the business. And so I organized the California sugar refinery. I made the Gordon sit up and take notice. One day, I was working in the place.
Michael, I came over to have a talk with you on behalf of my company.
Oh, hello, Gordon. All right, come in my office. There. Sit down, Gordon. Well, what's on your mind?
Freckles? Our company had a monopoly on the sugar business here in the West until you built this plant and started producing.
Yeah, I know.
Well, we feel that there's not room for two sugar refineries in this territory, so my company has decided to buy you out.
So? And what is your proposition?
We'll take over this plant and pay you $10,000 a year for 10 years to get out of the sugar business and stay out.
I don't want to get out of the sugar business. I put in 2 years of hard work as a common laborer, learning it from the ground up. No, Gordon, I am in the sugar business to stay.
I see. Then it's to be a fight between us, eh?
Oh, I don't know. Why don't you get out?
What?
Sure. You offer me $10,000 a year for 10 years to get out of the sugar business. Well, if you'll get out instead, I'll give you $100,000 a year for 10 years.
Gordon accepted, and within 10 years, Spreckels had extended his interests to the Hawaiian Islands, then under the rule of King Kalakaua, who unfortunately had a group of American advisors who fought Spreckels at every move.
Oh, my friend, Mr. Spreckels, aloha. Sit down and join me in a cool drink of okolehau.
Thank you, Your Majesty. Eh? Have you decided to give me that lease?
I am afraid it will have to be no. My very able American counselor, Mr. Armstrong, advises against it.
But why do you object, Mr. Armstrong?
As I understand it, Mr. Speckle, you wish to obtain a 50-year lease on some 40,000 acres of Hawaiian property in order to grow your own sugarcane.
That's right. I wish to build a refinery here.
Then why not buy your raw material from the planters already established here?
Because I can grow my own cheaper.
I'm sorry, but in justice to the planters on the island, I must advise the king not to grant you this lease.
Then your majesty has definitely decided?
Oh, my friend, is there anything definite in this world? Oh, come and see me tomorrow. Perhaps by that time, I will have changed my mind.
Mr. Thompson to see your majesty.
Hello, King David.
Oh, Mr. Thompson.
I'm sorry to intrude on you in this manner, but my business is urgent.
Business again.
As you know, I represent several of your creditors who hold notes of yours that are long overdue. I've just received this notice ordering me to institute foreclosure proceedings unless the money's paid by 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Oh, dear. Well, how much do they want?
Principal and interest. It amounts to about $60,000.
Oh, but that is out of the question.
Then, Your Majesty, I shall have to foreclose.
Wait a minute, Thompson. I'll take up those notes. King David. Your credit is good with me. Mr. Thompson, I will buy those notes at their face value.
Well, thank you, Mr. Spreckles. You've saved me from a very unpleasant duty.
Mr. Spreckles, what can I do to show my gratitude?
Lease me those 40,000 acres.
I protest. Your Majesty, this is a trick. I'll wager that Spreckles and Thompson have framed this up between them.
Well, I am afraid, my dear Mr. Armstrong, that your advice is not always good. Mr. Spreckles, the lease is yours.
And you came pretty near to being the boss of Hawaii a few years later, didn't you, Klaus?
Yeah, I guess maybe I was. But we had other interests, too. We bought a lot of acreage in California and planted sugar beets. We organized the Independent Light and Power Company and the Independent Gas and Power Company. And we built a railroad.
Two railroads and a steamship line between here and Hawaii.
Yeah, the Oceanic Steamship Company. And we built the first skyscraper in San Francisco, the Speckle Building.
Yeah. You have had a busy life, Klaus. Think of it. This is 1906.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now our sons are carrying on. And I do nothing but sit and dream of the past. Ah, Anna. We have had a very full and wonderful life. Anna. Anna, wake up.
What is it? What's the matter? I must have gone sound asleep here with the boy in my arms.
Yeah, I dozed off myself. Come, we must get to bed.
Take the boy. Be careful you don't waken him.
Come along, young fellow. He's dead to the world.
Oh, I got kind of stiff sitting here. That clock must be wrong. It can't be as late as that clock. What does your watch say?
The clock is pretty near right. It is now 5:10. I certainly am tired. I'll sleep all day tomorrow. We have had earthquakes before.
Yeah, but that was another bad shock.
Yeah, they've been going on for 15 minutes now.
Yeah, I'm worried about our son. Look at the chandelier still shaking, Klaus.
Yeah.
My vase, Klaus. My Dresden vase. Look. Broke into pieces, and I brought it with me from Germany.
That never mind.
Oh, I will give little Rudy, the poor little fellow. He must be scared to death.
Anna, don't get so excited.
Father, is everything all right?
Oh, it's you, son. I'm glad you're safe, Rudolph. Yeah, we got badly shaken up, and some windows got broken, and Mama's Dresden vase got smashed.
And little Rudy?
Mama's just gone after him. Here she is now.
Oh, Rudolph, thank God you are safe. And the others?
All safe, Mother. Oh. Here, let me take him.
Oh, sleeping. He doesn't even know that anything has happened.
Rudolph, you came from downtown?
Oh, it's terrible, Father. Oh, we'd better get out of the house. Buildings are crashing right and left in the downtown section.
Yeah?
And fire has broken out in several places.
And our building, Rudolph, has that fallen?
No, it seems to withstand the shocks. All those structures all around it are nothing but piles of brick and stone.
Do you hear that, Mama? The city is in ruins. But the Spreckles building still stands.
The Spreckles building withstood the catastrophe of earthquake and fire just as its builder had withstood for over 60 years the catastrophes that had overwhelmed so many others in the business world, less hard and far-sighted than he. Pioneer, empire builder, sugar king. Klaus Spreckels, captain of industry.